The Masonic Lodge claims in their authoritative ritual that the Holy Bible is one of the great lights in Masonry and their rule and guide for all Masonic faith and practice. Well, tonight we're going to examine the evidence to find out if that is really true. Now, I believe that most men in the Lodge look at the Bible as former junior warden Paul Panzer did, and I'd like you to listen.
As a non-believer, I felt that the Bible was the capstone of all that Masonry encompassed. The Bible was in the middle of the Lodge, on the altar, in view at all times, from all points in the Lodge. To me, that made the whole thing worthwhile, even if I ever heard any negative comments from friends outside the Lodge. I felt that it probably encompassed everything that I was learning in Masonry, since it was the highlight of the Lodge.
Now, why would Masons think this way? Well, the reason is that every candidate who passes through the first degree initiation ceremony, the degree of entered apprentice, is taught during the ritual that, quote, the three great lights in Masonry are the Holy Bible, square, and compass. The Holy Bible is given to us as the rule and guide for our faith and practice, end quote. But I think the evidence proves that Masonry really believes the Bible is only a symbol and is not to be followed literally. For example, esteemed Masonic scholar Joseph Fort Newton wrote the following instruction, which can be found in the front of every Holman Masonic edition of the Holy Bible. He said, quote, the Bible, so rich in symbolism, is itself a symbol. It is a sovereign symbol of the book of faith, the will of God as man has learned it in the midst of the years, that perpetual revelation of himself which God is making to mankind in every land, in every age. Thus, by the very honor which Masonry pays to the Bible, it teaches us to revere every book of faith, joining hands with the man of Islam as he takes oath on the Quran, and with the Hindu as he makes covenant with God upon the book that he loves best. For Masonry knows what so many forget, that religions are many, but religion is one. Perhaps we may say one thing. Therefore, it invites to its altar men of all faiths, knowing that if they use different names for the nameless one of 100 names, they are yet praying to the one God and Father of all, knowing also that while they read different volumes, they are in fact reading the same vast book of the faith of man, end quote. From this we can see that for Masonry, the Bible is not a rule and guide for faith and practice, but only a symbol. Now, we all know what a symbol is. The American flag is a symbol of freedom. The flag itself is not freedom. It is only a piece of cloth which symbolizes freedom. In the exact same way, Masonry teaches the Bible itself is not God's word, but it is only paper which symbolizes God's word. That is why the Bible is officially designated as a piece of lodge furniture. But what value is the Bible to the lodge if it is only a symbol? Well, one of the greatest of Masonic scholars, Albert Pike, explains how Masonry uses a candidate's reverence for the Bible to commit him to the Lodge. Here's what Pike says, quote, the Bible is an indispensable part of the furniture of a Christian Lodge, only because it is the sacred book of the Christian religion. The Hebrew Pentateuch in a Hebrew Lodge, and Quran in a Mohammedan one, belong on the altar. The obligation of the candidate is always to be taken on the sacred book or books of his religion, that he may deem it more solemn and binding. And therefore it was that you were asked of what religion you were. We have no other concern with your religious creed. End quote. Now let me give you two examples that show Masonry practices exactly what Pike stated. First, let's listen to the last few lines of the actual vow that is taken by every candidate in the third degree of Masonry. And I want you to notice that the Holy Bible is used to seal this vow. Please listen.
I solemnly and sincerely
promise and swear,
promise and swear,
to keep and perform the same,
to keep and perform the same,
without any equivocation,
without any
equivocation,
equivocation,
mental reservation,
mental reservation,
or secret evasion of mind,
or secret evasion or mind,
in me whatever,
in me whatever,
binding myself under the no less penalty,
binding myself under the no less penalty
than that of having,
than that of having,
my body severed in twain,
my body severed in twain,
my bowels taken thence,
my bowels taken thence,
And with my body burned to ashes.
And with my body burned to ashes.
And those ashes scattered.
And those ashes scattered.
To the four winds of heaven.
To the four winds of heaven.
So that there might remain.
So that there might remain.
Name.
Name.
Trace.
Trace.
Nor remembrance.
Nor remembrance.
No more forever.
No more forever.
Of so vile a wretch.
So vile a wretch.
As I would be.
As I would be.
Should I ever willingly.
Should I ever willingly.
Or knowingly.
Or knowingly.
Violate this.
Violate this.
My most solemn obligation.
My most solemn obligation.
As a master mason.
As a master mason.
So help me God.
So help me God.
And keep me steadfast.
And keep me steadfast.
In the due performance.
In the due performance.
Of the same.
Of the same.
Mr. Smith, as an evidence that you took this oath freely and of your own will and accord, please kiss the book before you three times. It is the Holy Bible.
Another example that proves that Masonry uses the Bible to secure a Christian candidate's allegiance to the Lodge can be seen in the 10th degree of the Scottish Rite. The candidate swears as follows, quote, I, John Smith, do promise and swear upon the Holy Bible to keep exactly in my heart all the secrets that shall be revealed to me, end quote. From this, we can see that the only purpose Masonry has for recognizing the scriptures of all faiths is to get men to swear allegiance to Masonry on the authority of the scriptures they hold dear. Masonry has only used the Christian's respect for the Bible to get him to swear allegiance to Masonry. Why? Well, obviously, Masonry cannot ask a Christian to swear his allegiance on the Quran or on the Upanishads when he does not believe these are authoritative scriptures. But since Christians believe the Bible is holy and sacred, Masonry asks him to swear upon it. Put simply, Masonry has no real respect for the contents of any holy books other than their motivating power to secure one's commitment to Masonry. As Albert Pike said, quote, we have no other concern for your religious creed, end quote. That this is exactly the way Masonry uses the Bible was made crystal clear to me by Mr. Bill Mankin, a 32nd degree Mason, during our debate with Dr. Walter Martin. Please listen.
To ask a Mohammedan to swear on a Christian Bible would be ludicrous. It would be sacrilegious.
So then the Bible is not the authoritative book of the Masonic Lodge. That's what Walter
when I wrote
saying.
You the letter, I'm saying. I said in the United States, the Holy Bible is the rule and guide of our faith. Yes.
But then
I
there must
that.
Be something behind the Holy Bible because it's not universal. It's just for this square geographical area here, and over there there's another authoritative book. That was where I think Walter was going.
It's not whether or not it's authoritative that is what's meaningful here.
That's what he said.
What you're asking a candidate to do is obligate himself
according to
the highest principles that he knows, according to his religion.
Bill,
there's no point in having him obligated according to Dr. Martin's religion or according to my religion.
Okay, Bill, how do you like that in terms of truth?
In terms of truth?
Truth. Is truth
we're
that way?
We're not talking about theology. We are talking about a system of morality that is illustrated by the use of the square, by the compasses, by the level, and by the plumb.
You know, it's a fact that Masonry never intended that Christians would keep and follow their scriptures. Or to do so would be to deny the distinctive teachings of Masonry. Proof of this may be seen in the following statements by Masonic authorities Coyle, Mackey, and others. From these men, we learn that Masonry has at least five distinct teachings about the Bible. First, the Bible is only a piece of lodge furniture, a great light upon which the candidate obligates himself to Masonry. Mackey's Revised Encyclopedia of Freemasonry teaches, quote, in the American system, the Bible is both a piece of furniture and a great light. Second, the Bible is not really to be believed. It is only a symbol of the will of God. Masonry teaches that the actual contents of the Bible are not the Word of God. For example, in Coyle's Masonic Encyclopedia, we can read, quote, the prevailing Masonic opinion is that the Bible is only a symbol of divine will, law, or revelation, and not that its contents are divine law, inspired, or revealed. So far, no responsible authority has held that a Freemason must believe the Bible or any part of it, end quote. Third, Masonry considers the Bibles of other faiths equally authoritative, or, more to the point, equally unauthoritative. Mackey's Revised Encyclopedia of Freemasonry teaches, quote, "The Bible is used among Freemasons as a symbol of the will of God, however it may be expressed. Therefore, whatever to any people expresses that will may be used as a substitute for the Bible in a Masonic lodge. Whether it be the Gospels to the Christian, the Pentateuch to the Israelite, the Quran to the Muslim, that's the Muslim, or the Vedas to the Brahmin, that's the Hindu, it everywhere Masonically conveys the same idea, that of the symbolism of the divine will revealed to man." End quote. Four, since the Bible is not the literal word of God, it is not to be literally obeyed. Masonic scholar Oliver D. Street frankly confesses, quote, "The Bible is not displayed on our altars now and never has been, for the reason that Masons are required to believe its teachings. We know that there is a very large element of the craft, the world over, who do not believe the teachings of the New Testament. Hence, unless we are perpetrating a grim mockery, we do not employ the Bible as a profession, that we as a society accept all its teachings and doctrines." End quote. The Masonic Lodge, in the higher degrees, even teaches that Christians cannot properly interpret their own Bible. For example, Pike declares, quote, "The Hebrew books, that is the Bible, were written in symbols unintelligible to the profane, that is the ignorant or the non-Mason." End quote. In other words, only Masons can properly interpret the Bible. Now I'd like you to listen as former worshipful master Jack Harris tells us how he came to realize the Masonic Lodge was lying to him about the Bible being the great light in Masonry. Please listen.
I didn't think there was any conflict, and I enjoyed doing what I was doing. But something was tugging inside that was wrong.
Because you still weren't a Christian at that time.
I still was not a Christian at the time.
Even though you went to a church and you were
the worshipful master of the lodge.
That's right. Yeah. I had a lot of head knowledge, John, but the heart wasn't committed to any of the head knowledge.
So this started you thinking that would happen.
Well, what happened at that time is that one night I was watching a Billy Graham crusade. I remember October 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And he was preaching on Hebrews 4:12. Well, it convicted my heart so bad that I knew I was a sinner, I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior, I got on my knees and accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. At that time, my first love, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, was His Word. Saturated my mind day and night with the Word of God, and then I said, the rituals that I memorized word of mouth are coming back to me, and it's a total conflict with what I'm reading in the Word of God. What do I do?
Give me an example.
An example?
Give me an example of where you saw conflict when you read the Bible and you compared it to your Masonic teachings.
When I first came into Masonry, they told me that I was in darkness seeking spiritual light.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read a John 8:12 where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And as I saw many other passages, it says, I am a child of light. In Colossians, book of Colossians, He has called me out of darkness. And I thought, well, wait a minute, if I'm out of darkness and I'm in Jesus' light, why am I still in darkness in every degree of Freemasonry until I come to their light? So this kind of opened my eyes that something's wrong here with Freemasonry. I then contacted the Grand Lodge of the State of Maryland, debated with them on the issue, and their final word was, we worship the supreme architect of the universe here. If you want to worship Jesus Christ, you go to your church. My point was, sir, in the light of the first chapter of John, Jesus Christ is the architect of the universe, but He has a name. It's Jesus Christ. He said, end of argument. I then decided, in order to be true to the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, I must renounce Freemasonry.
Now, was that a hard decision to make?
Not after being convicted, no, because it was a matter of a love for the Lord. And now what made it an easy decision, John, is I felt tremendously lied to and deceived by what Masonry taught to me as they said it was truth. And now I find out it wasn't the truth, it was a lie. Yes, I was very upset.
When did you realize that the Masonic plan of salvation or the way to get into the Celestial Lodge was not what the Bible said?
I would say within about a month after I was saved and I started to saturate my mind with the Word of God and reading the book of Romans, the sixth chapter, that said I am dead, buried, and resurrected with the person of Jesus Christ. And then when I read John 3:7, ye must be born again. Oh, must be born again, not brought to light of the teachings of Freemasonry.
Mm-hmm.
They never taught me to be born again in Freemasonry.
You know, Jack Harris is correct. The Masonic Lodge lied to him about the Bible. Yet at the same time, Masonic authors are very blunt in stating what Masonry really believes in their books.
For example, in Chase's Digest of Masonic Law, he asserts, quote, "To require that a candidate profess a belief in the divine authority of the Bible is a serious innovation in the very body of Masonry. The Jews, the Chinese, the Turks, each reject either the Old or the New Testament, or both. And yet we see no good reason why they should not be made Masons. In fact, Blue Lodge Masonry has nothing whatever to do with the Bible. It is not founded on the Bible. If it were, it would not be Masonry." End quote. In conclusion, virtually all Masonic authorities establish three things. One, that the Bible is only a symbol. Two, that a Mason is not required to believe the Bible's teachings. And three, that some other book may be substituted for the Bible. But these Masonic views concerning the Bible are in direct conflict with what the Bible teaches about itself. Here's what Jesus taught about his own teachings. He said,
"Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away."
Again, he said,
"He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak."
Now concerning the Bible itself, the apostles taught, quote,
"And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works."
And finally, we find this scripture, quote,
"Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost."
Now, if you're a Christian, you know that the Bible is not simply to be read as a symbol or allegory or to be ignored. The Bible is to be obeyed as the authoritative, inerrant Word of God. Scripture tells us this repeatedly. So if you are a Christian and you're part of the Lodge, let me ask you this. What good does it do to talk about the Bible as being the great light of Masonry if the Lodge never turns on the switch? Masons everywhere swear the Bible is a great light, but they never use it, nor do they obey it. How then can you as a Christian Mason, one who claims to believe that the Bible is the literal Word of God, how can you help promote an organization that denies God's Word and denies the teachings of our very Lord and Savior Jesus about the Bible?
Jack, let me start with you. How did you get into the Masonic Lodge? What attracted you? Tell me the story.
Okay, John, the way that I got into Masonry is that I was a member of a Baptist church. I wasn't yet a born-again Christian, but a member of a Baptist church, Southern Baptist. And being part of the men's Bible class, about three-quarters of that Bible class were Masons. The pastor of the church was a Mason. And the men intrigued me with the mystique of Freemasonry, that they had some hidden things that I could learn about God that I didn't already know. So being intrigued with this, I said, you know, I think I'd like to be a part of this group. These men are my friends, and if they have something I want, I need that. I'd like to be a part of that. So I put my application in for the Masonic Lodge, and had to wait for about 6 or 8 weeks till they voted on me, and then after that they sent me a letter and said, appear at a certain date. In fact, it was on May 1st, 1961, and you will receive your first degree of Freemasonry. So I went into the lodge room and had to take my clothes off and put on this blue outfit and be blindfolded. And as I was going through the rituals of the first degree and learning all the catechism in the second degree, they found out that I could memorize the work very well in the catechism class. And I did enjoy memorizing.
Because you had a lot to memorize, didn't you?
A lot to memorize. First degree, second degree, about 180 questions before you can get to the Master Mason degree.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was in there, I really enjoyed what I did. I believe, you know, what they were doing, talking about God, we were learning something new. In fact, we were learning things I never heard in church. I said, this is a little different. And now I'm not a Christian at the time. So I became an officer of the lodge with about 6 months after becoming a Master Mason. So after I'm going through the chairs of the Masonic Lodge, which takes 7 years, from the junior steward all the way through to the worshipful master, 7 years of memorizing all their ritual, word of mouth, nothing written down. 6 years later, I became worshipful master of a Masonic Lodge, which was 1968 in Baltimore, Maryland. And then I also went to other bodies of Freemasonry.
And you actually had 600 men in your lodge that you presided over, is that correct?
That is correct, 600 men. And at the time, we had a Pentecostal chaplain, which always opened and closed his prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, at the time I was master, he closed his prayers in the name of Jesus Christ as one particular meeting. A past master stood up and said, "We won't have any of that here." Well, in a blue lodge, its parliamentary procedure is normally always followed. So when the lodge closed, I approached his brother, "Why did you object to this?" He said, "Well, look in your Maryland Masonic manual. It tells you how to close your prayers. And you're supposed to use no additional endings, just amen or so mote it be." So I approached the Grand Master in 1968 at the time. And I said to the Grand Master, "I'd like to have a Christian flag in the East, an Old and New Testament on the altar. And I would also like to have on top of all of this, I'd like to be able to close my prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. I noticed there's some objections from the past masters." He said, "Well, an Old New Testament I have no problem with. Christian flag, that's an impossibility." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because we have Jews, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists. We have all religions of the world a part of Freemasonry." I said, "We do?" I said, "I didn't know that." And then he said, "Close your prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. So long as no members object, I have no problem with that. But if one member objects, I must insist that you don't close your prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. If you do, I will insist on shutting your lodge down, and it will cease to exist." At this point, I began to wonder, is there a difference between Freemasonry and the teachings of the Bible? Seemed to be a conflict here from the way I was raised.
Because up to that point, you didn't think there was.
I didn't think there was any conflict, and I enjoyed doing what I was doing. But something was tugging inside that was wrong.
Because you still weren't a Christian at that
time. I still was not a Christian at the time.
Even though you went to a church and you were the worshipful master of the lodge.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of head knowledge, John, but the heart wasn't committed to any of the head knowledge.
So this started you thinking, then what happened?
Well, what happened at that time is that one night I was watching a Billy Graham crusade. I remember October 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And he was preaching on Hebrews 4:12. Well, it convicted my heart so bad that I knew I was a sinner. I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior. I got on my knees and accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. At that time, my first love, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, was His Word. Saturated my mind day and night with the Word of God. And then I said, the rituals that I memorized word of mouth were coming back to me. And it's a total conflict with what I'm reading in the Word of God. What do I do?
Give me an example.
An example?
Give me an example of where you saw conflict when you read the Bible and you compared it to your Masonic teachings.
When I first came into Masonry, they told me that I was in darkness seeking spiritual light.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read of John 8:12, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And as I saw many other passages, it said, "I am a child of light." In Colossians, book of Colossians, He has called me out of darkness. And I thought, well, wait a minute. If I'm out of darkness and I'm in Jesus' light, why am I still in darkness in every degree of Freemasonry until I come to their light? So this kind of opened my eyes that something's wrong here with Freemasonry. I then contacted the Grand Lodge of the State of Maryland, debated with them on the issue, and their final word was, "We worship the supreme architect of the universe here. If you want to worship Jesus Christ, you go to your church." My point was, sir, in the light of the first chapter of John, Jesus Christ is the architect of the universe, but He has a name. It's Jesus Christ. He said, end of argument. I then decided, in order to be true to the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, I must renounce Freemasonry.
Now, was that a hard decision to make?
Not after being convicted, no, because it was a matter of a love for the Lord. And now what made it an easy decision, John, is I felt tremendously lied to and deceived by what Masonry taught to me as they said it was truth. And now I find out it wasn't a truth, it was a lie. Yes, I was very upset.
When did you realize that the Masonic plan of salvation or the way to get into the Celestial Lodge was not what the Bible said?
I would say within about a month after I was saved and I started to saturate my mind with the Word of God and reading the book of Romans, the sixth chapter, that said I am dead buried and resurrected with the person of Jesus Christ. And then when I read John 3:7, ye must be born again. Oh, must be born again, not brought to light of the teachings of Freemasonry. Mm-hmm. They never taught me to be born again in Freemasonry.
Okay. So then, how is it that you got out? Did you just walk away? A lot of guys just stop paying their dues and leave. They don't tell anybody. Or a lot of people continue to pay their dues, just don't go to the meetings. What did you do?
I was angry at the time, so I had to take a little bit of time and calm down and pray about it. And what I did is I wrote two short paragraphs telling the lodge, and I wrote to the members of the lodge, not to any lodge officer. As long as you write to the members, they must read that in a lodge of instruction. But if you write to the particular officer lodge, he can read it and then take the letter and throw it away.
That's what you did?
I wrote a letter saying, I do not agree with your doctrines, they conflict with the Word of God, and I no longer want to be part of the organization of Freemasonry. Signed it. I never heard a word since then. What I did is I think it was 2 or 3 months later, I received a demit from my Blue Lodge.
What's a demit?
A demit means that you are in good standing, your dues have been paid, you're still a Mason, but you no longer wish to belong to that particular lodge, so you take this showing you're in good standing to some other lodge you want to belong to so they can vote on you to become a member of that lodge, but you're still a Mason.
Jim, Jack here came in, he wasn't a Christian, even though people in the church brought him over to the lodge and he became a member through their friendship. Now, you come from a different perspective altogether. You actually are a Christian. In fact, you are a pastor of a Christian church. Now, how in the world, with all of these things that we've been telling the people about Masonry, how in the world, with a Christian, in fact, the pastor of the church, how did you get into the Masonic Lodge? And when did it dawn on you that these things were in conflict with your Christian faith?
I joined the lodge in 1969. I was a new Christian, and I was part of a church that did not disciple its members. When you join the church, you were just a member. So I had a lot of what I would call respect for Masons that I had known, especially mm-hmm. in my wife's family. Just about every male in her family going back to about 30 years before the Revolutionary War was a Mason. And I had a lot of respect for these men, and I wanted to be part of that. And I joined the lodge, and other than the oaths and obligations, which I was a little upset about, I didn't see anything wrong with it. I didn't understand the scriptures closely enough. Shortly after joining, due to business commitments, I couldn't attend lodge, and I remained relatively inactive for approximately 7 years when someone invited me to join the York Rite, and I had found some artifacts left over from some of the members of my wife's family, so I thought this would be interesting, and I joined and immediately got active. In the York Rite, we went through in large classes. So as a result of that, when you went through these degrees, you were sitting on the sidelines and there was tremendous activity. I never picked up the import of what was going on.
All right, let me stop you now. Were you also the worshipful master of the lodge at this time?
No, I wasn't master of my lodge at that
point. Okay, so you had just gone into the first 3 degrees of Masonry, past that,
mm-hmm.
and somebody said, hey, let's go up the ladder in Masonry, let's take the York mm-hmm. Rite way, and so you went all the way, how high did you go?
I went up all the way to commander of the commandery,
okay.
which was the Christian branch, which I was very delighted with because we read scriptures there. All our prayers were in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was symbolism in there which I did not quite fully understand.
Let me also ask you this. Why did you say the York Rite is considered to be the Christian kind of part of the lodge?
Well, the York Rite consists of three bodies, the chapter, and then comes the council, and after that is the commandery of Knights Templar. It's a recreation of the old knights who supposedly tried to regain the Holy Land for Christendom.
Mm-hmm.
And everything within there, which is quite colorful with the uniforms, plumes, chapeaux, swords, and so forth, everything was done in the symbolism. On our uniforms, in at least 13 or 14 different places, we bore the cross.
So Christian is the connotation of just the Christian crusades, and basically, it really wasn't based on the Bible or Christian doctrine. It was just had the name or the title of Christian, and you just accepted that and kind of cruised on.
There was a lot of scripture that was read regarding Christ, but the doctrine was not there in the commandery.
All right, when did things start to bother you here?
Things started to bother me when I read a book a number of years ago, approximately 5 years ago, where a number of people writing on the New Age movement inculcated Freemasonry into this. And I got rather angry saying that this is not right to take Freemasonry and just slander it this way, and I decided that maybe I would do some writing from the Christian Freemason standpoint.
All right. And you did that, but at that time, tell us again how it is that you became the Worshipful Master, because you must have become the Worshipful Master after you went through the York Rite. How did you get into that, and then tell us about how they disturbed you as the Worshipful Master?
After I had finished up my, as we call it, chairs, going through the chairs in the York Rite, a number of fellows asked me if I wanted to go on for what's called the York Cross of Honor, which is equivalent to the 33rd degree Scottish Rite Mason.
As high as you can get.
As high as you can go, and I was told that I'd have to go through the chairs as Worshipful Master. I belong to a country lodge in Stockton, New Jersey, which is made up of some of the finest men I think I've ever met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have one quarrel with any of them or any of the other men in the York Rite. They were as deceived as I was, and many of them are still there. They're still loyal and faithful, and they don't understand. But I got into the chairs, and it was in my... just as I was going in as master of the lodge, I was coming under this tremendous conviction from the research that I was doing from Masonic authors.
Mm-hmm.
And my father-in-law, before he had died, left me a book called The History of Freemasonry and Concordant Orders. It's a very old, very reliable Masonic source. But it's a book that cuts right to the center, and there I began to see exactly what the essence of Freemasonry was.
What was the thing that really struck you from reading?
One of the things that struck me the hardest, I guess, is when I read the meaning of the letter G, which was not what I had been taught in the Blue Lodge.
What were you taught? And so
in the Blue Lodge, we were taught that the letter G stood for God. When I got into this book, I found out that the true meaning was Gnosis or Gnosticism,
mm-hmm.
which was one of the early plagues that hit Christianity and has been in the church ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked further into that, checking Albert Pike, I saw in there that there is a freedom amongst Masonic leaders to deceive those below them if they so desire, to lead them by symbols and tell them opposite meanings from what they really mean.
All right, let's run that by the people again. You found out, and it's true, that those like Albert Pike and other writers in Masonry that are in the higher degrees that have written the Masonic books, they've actually said things like what you just mentioned, that it's okay to deceive the guys in the first 3 degrees and even some of the other degrees of Masonry. And the real scoop, the real truth about what you're doing in the Masonic Lodge is given to those that go up the ladder.
That's correct.
Okay? Now that, you didn't know that before.
I was not aware of that, no, that meanings change the higher you go.
Give us an example of, from Blue Lodge to the higher degrees, what was the meaning that changed? You said God, but what else changed?
Another thing was that I got a tract which explained Jah Belon. I was shocked on that. I went back to the State Masonic Authority in the York Rite, and I checked that as quickly as I could, and they admitted that at one point they had issued an order to remove Jah Belon and just go for the name of Jehovah.
What about it?
Well, this is the part of the grand omnific word of the Royal Arch. You must say that. You must say it under an arch held up high with your hands with 3 members together, and it is blasphemy.
So what you're saying is that in the Blue Lodge, you're told things about God, you're told other things up in Royal Arch, higher degrees, and down in the Blue Lodge, you're told that this will not conflict with your religious belief, and lo and behold, the content for God is a completely different name than what the God of the Bible tells you in Christianity, and not only is it different, but it's blasphemous.
That's
right?
Correct.
You have the mixing of God's name, true name, as revealed in the Bible, with 2 pagan deities that God of the Bible strictly condemns.
Absolutely.
And then in the Masonic Lodge, in the Royal Arch degree, what you're saying is you found out you're supposed to not only claim that and promise that, but you're supposed to say it, and only in the Royal Arch degree.
That's correct. And the names of those pagan deities were changed slightly so that you wouldn't recognize them. That bothered me very badly.
Okay, so what did you do with all this?
Finally, when I put the whole thing together, I decided I had to get out. But, John, I made a mistake. At that moment, I didn't walk out. I still had an obligation to my lodge, and I said I was going to fulfill that obligation. It was a promise to my fellow man, and I made a mistake there. I should have stood on Christ and Christ only. Instead, I waited till my year as master was up, and on New Year's Day of 1985, I mailed a letter not only resigning from the lodge, but from Freemasonry. I quoted scripture in there, and I exhorted my brothers to take a look at it. I haven't heard a word from them since.
Mm-hmm.
Does the Masonic Lodge turn men away from Jesus Christ? We're going to examine four areas. First, does the Masonic Lodge deny Christ's deity? And second, does the Masonic Lodge deliberately delete the name of Christ from its prayers and scripture quotations? And third, does the Masonic Lodge make Christian Masons disobey Christ by officially prohibiting them from speaking or witnessing of Christ during their lodge activities? And fourth, does Masonry commit blasphemy by offering the inviolate and untransferable offices of Jesus Christ to non-Christian lodge members? Well, to begin, let us start with the question, does Masonry deny Christ's deity? I want you to listen as Mr. Jack Harris tells how he came to understand the lodge's teachings concerning Jesus while he was the worshipful master in his lodge. Please listen.
And you actually had 600 men in your lodge that you presided over, is that correct?
That is correct, 600 men. And at the time we had a Pentecostal chaplain, which always opened and closed his prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, at the time I was master, he closed his prayers in the name of Jesus Christ as one particular meeting. A past master stood up and said, "We won't have any of that here." Well, in a blue lodge, its parliamentary procedure is normally always followed. So when the lodge closed, I approached his brother, "Why did you object to this?" He said, "Well, look in your Maryland Masonic manual. It tells you how to close your prayers. And you're supposed to use no additional endings, just Amen or so mote it be." So I approached the Grand Master in 1968 at the time. And I said to the Grand Master, "I'd like to have a Christian flag in the East, an Old and New Testament on the altar. And I would also like to have, on top of all of this, I'd like to be able to close my prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. I noticed there's some objections from the past masters." He said, "Well, an Old New Testament I have no problem with. Christian flag, that's an impossibility." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because we have Jews, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists. We have all religions of the world a part of Freemasonry." I said, "We do?" I said, "I didn't know that." And then he said, "Close your prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. So long as no members object, I have no problem with that. But if one member objects, I must insist that you don't close your prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. If you do, I will insist on shutting your lodge down, and it will cease to exist." At this point, I began to wonder, is there a difference between Freemasonry and the teachings of the Bible? When I first came into Masonry, they told me that I was in darkness seeking spiritual light.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read of John 8:12, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And as I saw many other passages, it says, "I am a child of light." In Colossians, book of Colossians, "He has called me out of darkness." And I thought, well, wait a minute. If I'm out of darkness, and I'm in Jesus' light, why am I still in darkness in every degree of Freemasonry until I come to their light? So this kind of opened my eyes that something's wrong here with Freemasonry. I then contacted the Grand Lodge of the State of Maryland, debated with them on the issue, and their final word was, "We worship the Supreme Architect of the universe here. If you want to worship Jesus Christ, you go to your church." My point was, sir, in the light of the first chapter of John, Jesus Christ is the architect of the universe, but he has a name. It's Jesus Christ. He said, end of argument. I then decided, in order to be true to the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, I must renounce Freemasonry.
Now, does Masonry deny Christ's deity? Well, Albert Pike taught, quote, "Masonry reverences all the great reformers. It sees in Moses, the lawgiver of the Jews, in Confucius, in Zoroaster, in Jesus of Nazareth, and in the Arabian iconoclast, great teachers of morality and eminent reformers, if no more, and allows every brother of the order to assign to each such higher and even divine character as his creed and truth require," end quote. Notice, Masonry says it's okay if you want to believe Zoroaster, Jesus, or some Arabian leader are divine, but Masonry itself only recognizes these men as reformers or great teachers of morality. Let me ask you, if you're a Christian, do you believe Jesus was only a great teacher of morality and no more than that? Well, Masonry believes Jesus was only a man and not God. In the important Masonic ritual called the Maundy-Thursday Ritual of the Chapter of Rosicroix, Masonry officially teaches, quote, "We meet this day to commemorate the death of Jesus, not as inspired or divine, for this is not for us to decide," end quote. Here, the lodge admits that Masonry perceives Jesus only as a man, not as God or someone divine. This agrees with what Pike said, quote, Jesus was a great teacher of morality, but nothing more, end quote. In fact, nowhere in Masonic ritual or literature will you find Jesus called God or said to be the world's Savior who died for men's sins. To portray him in such a light would offend men in the lodge, and Masonry wishes to offend no one. But in doing so, Masonry offends every Christian who believes Jesus is both Lord and Savior. The question becomes, how can Christians who are Masons continue to support an organization that denies their Lord? You know, Jesus warns, quote,
Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven.
Now second, let's examine the evidence to find out if Masonry has deliberately deleted the name of Jesus Christ from its prayers and scripture quotations. Listen as former worshipful master Jack Harris explains what he discovered while he was in the lodge.
All right, let me ask you this. Concerning God specifically, what offended you in the Masonic Lodge as you started to study your Bible?
Primarily, that the name of Jesus Christ was excluded from the ritual, and because there was so much contention within the Masonic order to pray in his name.
Give me an example.
Chaplains open and close their prayers. They, and if there's objections from the sidelines, from other members, they are restricted from closing prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Only if all the members agree is this allowed. And of course, we are told to pray in his name when we ask the Father for something. In the lodge, I'm told I can't do this.
Is there any problem with not mentioning Jesus Christ's name in the lodge?
Well, the fact is that in all of their rituals, everything that they teach you, they exclude the person of Jesus Christ. When they talk about how to gain eternal life in the Hiram Abiff legend, they only say the tribe of the line of Judah. They don't say who this person is. Whenever they talk about the white apron, the blood that dripped off of that white apron saved me by grace. They never say this. They tell me about a period of life and conduct. So all throughout the rituals, Jesus Christ is never mentioned, is totally excluded. It's not a matter of just omitting it at the prayers. It's a matter of omitting him total.
Proof that Jesus' name has been deliberately deleted from the rituals of the Masonic Lodge can be seen in at least two examples from the charge to the opening of the Royal Arch degree. In this ritual, 2 Thessalonians 3:6, 2 Thessalonians 3:12 are both quoted in the ritual, but they are misquoted in this manner. Quote, Now we command you, brethren, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us, end quote. Now notice how the Bible really reads. Quote,
Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us.
The other verse that is misquoted is 2 Thessalonians 3:12. And again the words Jesus Christ in the biblical passage cited in their ritual are again deleted.
Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work, and eat their own bread.
Now notice, in both of these scriptural passages, Masonry has deliberately and dishonestly removed the name of Jesus Christ from their ritual. Every Christian knows the Bible is God's word, and it's not to be tampered with. God warns in Deuteronomy 4:2, quote,
Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you.
Masonry not only dishonestly deletes the name of Christ from scripture passages, it also forbids prayer to Jesus in the lodge or prayer to God in Jesus' name. For example, the Maryland Master Mason Magazine of March 1973, Volume 2, stated the following regulation concerning prayer for the lodges in the state of Maryland. Quote, All prayers in Mason lodges should be directed to the one deity to whom all Masons refer as the grand architect of the universe. Prayers in the lodges should be closed with expressions such as, In the most holy and precious name we pray, using no additional words
which would be in conflict with the religious beliefs of those present at meetings. End quote. Similar statements have been made in other states. In fact, if one examines every prayer Masonry suggests ought to be offered in the Blue Lodge and all the prayers of the 40 higher degrees of the York and Scottish Rites, one will discover that not one of these sample prayers is offered in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, one would think that as soon as Christians recognize this, they would be ashamed to remain in the Masonic Lodge. Scripture tells us, quote,
"Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also."
Then third, we want to find out, does the Masonic Lodge make Christian Masons disobey Christ by officially prohibiting them from speaking or witnessing for Christ in the Lodge? Well, all Christians know they've been commanded by Jesus Christ during his Great Commission to witness about him to all men everywhere they go. But Masonry prohibits Christians from talking about Jesus Christ in any fashion in the Lodge. The ritual of the 20th degree of the Scottish Rite teaches, quote, "No man has the right to dictate to another in matters of belief or faith. No man can say that he has possession of truth," end quote. The Texas Monitor, along with many others, stresses the point that Masonry is correct in, quote, "forbidding all sectarian discussion within its lodge rooms," end quote. In brief, what this means is that Masonry absolutely prohibits all attempts by Christians to share Jesus Christ or his gospel with other Masons in the lodge. In the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, 1 through 5, only God is said to be permitted to open the seven seals mentioned there. Yet, in the seventh degree of the Scottish Rite ceremony, the all-puissant acts out the very scene in Revelation 5 and takes the place of God in opening the seven seals. Another example of blasphemy is when men take to themselves the different names that are reserved only for God. Listen as former worshipful master Jim Flanagan explains how all Royal Archmasons blaspheme God by appropriating to themselves God's personal name of the I Am.
Companion Captain of the Host.
Most excellent High Priest,
are you a Royal Archmason?
I am that I am.
Now why is this blasphemy? Well, God said about his name, the I Am, quote,
"And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations."
God also said, quote,
"Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain."
Now the Masonic Lodge misuses God's name, reducing it to a password for unbelievers. Now another example of where the office of Christ himself is given to non-Christian Masonic candidates in the Lodge was brought out during our debate with 32nd degree Mason Mr. Bill Mankin and Dr. Walter Martin. Dr. Martin pointed out the following information.
"It is then that the thrice puissant anoints him with oil on the crown of his head and says, Be thou a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And after receiving the password Emmanuel and the sacred word Alleluia, he is dressed in a robe of white linen and given a cordon, sash of honor worn across the breast of crimson color. Scottish Rite, Masonry Illustrated, The Complete Ritual, Volume 2, E. Cook Publications, 1974. Is it not significant to you, as a Christian, that in the seventh chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrew, Jesus Christ alone occupies the priesthood of Melchizedek? In fact, the Greek says, he holds it inviolate and untransferable.
I have to go back to symbolism. We have to go back to a symbolic act and not something that is designed to...
But I can't say to you, you're a priest after the order of Melchizedek, when that's our Lord's priesthood.
Or I don't want you to.
But that rite says they do it to people that aren't even Christians. You're giving the priesthood of Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us in heaven as our Lord, to people that don't even acknowledge him as God. That's what I'm saying. That's why Masonry is a cult. It denies the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, these examples show that the Masonic Lodge is blaspheming God's name in rituals that deny, distort, and repudiate everything God has taught in the Bible. What could be more irreverent than applying the name of God to oneself and then participating in pagan rituals? You know, Jews in the Old Testament, out of reverence for God, would not go so far as to even pronounce God's name in public. But Masons use it in their profane skits, assigning it to unbelievers who mock God by citing his name in approval of doctrines he abhors and condemns. In conclusion, Masonry claims that it reveres Jesus Christ, but in fact, it denies him, blasphemes him, and turns men away from him. It deletes the name of Christ from its prayers and scriptural quotations. It offers the titles and offices of Christ to unbelievers. It forces Christians to disobey Christ by prohibiting all discussion of Christ from the lodge activity. And it denies the deity of Jesus Christ and teaches that he was only a man, and in the process, denies his role as Savior of the world. If you're a Christian, how can you remain part of an organization that denies your Lord?